From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Well, first off, on the Ryan Braun thing, I do think the Brewers are floating his name to see what they could get for him. If you're the Astros, you're probably having to start with Alex Bregman. Or, I mean, it's going to be your top prospect. And are you willing to do that? And I would be in a heartbeat. I'm always willing to take the proven guy over someone who might be good 5 years from now. But I also think that if Ryan Braun's really available, there will be other teams that will outbid the Astros. And the other thing is, I just don't think that they're willing to take on that contract.
This will be the telling year, though. I mean, you get a guy like Brock Osweiler, so you figure you finally have your quarterback, so you think. You get a Lamar Miller at running back, so you figure you have some things there. And, you know, you give the guy credit for being 2-5 and digging themselves out of the hole, but what would worry me is what you said about Kansas City. It's not that they just got their pants pulled down. That was the rematch. So you saw the Chiefs at the beginning of the year. So as a coach, you study film, you make some adjustments, don't you?
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on, visit or post. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at Danny Mata Jr., at T to the whatever the bleep Tyler's is. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. I'm going to, before this week is up, I'm going to come up with a nickname for Tyler. And I'm going to come up with a better Twitter handle for him.
See, my problem is with Twitter, I was late getting a Twitter. So the name that I would want was just at T Scott, but that's taken by an inactive account. And it's just so annoying to me that I can't get the name that I want.
Yeah. Hey, how about the real Tyler Scott? Is that taken?
Probably not. I'll look. I'll check.
Why don't you try that? That's a good starting point. Hey, let's give something away. $25 cash card from the West Texas Investors Club. CNBC's hit series West Texas Investors Club is coming to Houston this Thursday at Cottonwood, 3422 Shepherd. Meet millionaire investors Butch Gilman and Rooster McConaughey. Get the inside scoop on how to get on the show and what it takes to get a deal. Don't miss the premiere of West Texas Investors Club, Tuesday, June 7th at 9 p.m. only on CNBC. Log on to CNBCPrime.com for more info. Caller number 10. You know what? I got two of those, right? It's my caller 10 and 15. Get you your $25 gift cards. How's that? Take care of the people. All right, I promised you a list that this just got tweeted out before we went on air, and I looked at this and I realized that I've been to almost all these places. And Houston Press did a list of Houston's 10 best bars to drink alone. Now, you're new to marriage, so I will explain to you that there are going to come times during the marriage when you are going to be either banished to the couch or kicked out of the house for a while.
Okay.
It's just natural. It happens to everybody. There's not a single person out there who's been married for more than a year that this hasn't happened to.
Okay.
And sometimes when I get banished, I like to go sit at a bar by myself and just kind of chill, watch sports, have a drink. Now, most of the places I know all the regulars now, so it's kind of hard to do that. But I like bars where you can go sit by yourself. So this is the 10 best bars to drink alone in Houston. By someone named Clint Hale. And
he must drink alone a lot.
Well, that does worry me. If you're a person who writes a story, you probably don't have much of a life. If you're drinking alone all the time, everywhere, I mean, the reality is it can't be more than a once a week thing. All right. Once a week is extreme.
Right.
I would say in my case, it's probably twice a month. Now, sometimes it's simple stuff. Like Saturday, I wanted to go on a nice long bike ride, and the wife didn't feel up to it. So I went on a bike ride, and then I stopped off at Live Sports Bar, as a matter of fact, where we're going to be tomorrow with Jerome Solomon, and had a few drinks there. That's a great place to drink alone. Then I went home. So that wasn't because I was in trouble. It was just she didn't want to go on the bike ride, and I wanted a beer after my bike ride.
But if this guy has been drinking alone enough to make a list of the top, it's a top 10 list, right?
Yeah.
So he drinks alone a lot.
What scares me is I have been alone drinking at almost all these. But anyway, and I will just tell you, Live would have made this list if it hadn't just opened recently. Number 10 is the Shakespeare Pub on Memorial. I have not been there. That's one of the few I haven't been to. Number 9 is the Ginger Man, which is over by Rice. I have spent many nights at the Ginger Man, and mostly there was a stretch many years ago where I dated a girl who lived over there, so I was always over at the Ginger Man. But I've also been there alone drinking. Very cool place, good beer selection. Leon's Lounge, Midtown. I like the bar. I don't like the patrons. It's kind of, there's a lot of hipster Midtown douchebags there.
That's the one across from Mongoose versus Cobra,
yeah,
right?
Both those bars are really cool bars.
Yeah, Mongoose is awesome.
And to be fair, it's way too, the crowd's way too young for me. Even though I like young people, I love hanging out with young people, these are like rich young people
yeah.
who think they're better than everybody. So
yuppies.
Right.
Yeah, douchebags. Hipster trust fund douchebags is what they are. St. Dane's is number 7 on the list, which I've been to many times. Not a bad place. I don't think I've ever been there alone. Johnny's Gold Brick, which I guess is in the Heights.
It's in the Heights. My cousin actually is telling me about this on Monday. Said it's really cool.
Yeah, see, I don't get to too many places outside of downtown anymore. Although I've been biking to the Heights a lot. So I mean, I'll add that to my list and check it out. Pimlico Irish Pub, which I guess is on Wah. So that's kind of Montrose, technically.
Yeah, I think that's, is it on the other side of Yale? Like in between Yale and Wah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's also bikeable for me. All right, here we go. Number 4, Sonny's downtown. This is one of my go-to places. I have killed many brain cells there. And it's the best dive bar in the city. If you like pure dive bars, that's it. Including homeless guys walking by trying to get you to buy them beer. But I've spent a lot of time there. Neil's Bar, which is number 3 on the list. It's over in Edo. They've got Nintendo 64 set up in there. It's a total geek bar. I love it.
Oh, man, I'm there. Where is that? What is that one again?
It's Neil's Bar. It's a very cool place, and Neil, who runs the place, is a great guy. So it's over in Edo. Check that one out. Number 2 on the list, another one of my favorites, the Maple Leaf Pub, which is where I usually go to watch hockey. But that's another one that I don't know that I've ever been there without the wife because, you know, she's Canadian and all that. So this is why we go. But that's a very cool place to drink by yourself. And number 1 on the list, I have also not been to Lola's Depot, which I don't know anything about that
is
one.
Is that the one by Market Square?
It says 2327 Grant.
No. Lola's is, I used to know, so coincidentally, one of the former bartenders at the Maple Leaf, we were talking about Lola's, and he goes, oh, yeah. That's a heroin den.
Ah.
So maybe don't go there.
Well, okay. I've never been there. I can only speak to the ones on the list that I have been to, and which I think is maybe it's way too many.
But it's number 1, though. How do you not go to the number 1?
Well, because, honestly, I'm kind of a downtown snob now. I don't leave downtown unless I have to. I'll go to Rice Village. When we do our weekend biking things, I'll go to Rice Village, I'll go to Montrose, I'll go to the Heights. But otherwise, if I go home tonight and decide, you know what, I'm probably in trouble for something I said to the wife, I'm going to stop at a bar, it's going to be downtown. No reason. Or if the rain is so bad that I can't get home, which is another possibility, then that's what I'm going to do. But not a bad list. Usually if it's a list where I've never heard of most of them. But there's only 4 of these that I've never been to out of 10. So that's a pretty good list.
The only one on that list I've been to is Mongoose. That's the only one. I used to.
And now it's your marriage, you're never going to any of these places.
Well, because a lot of it, because when I first started working in this industry, in addition to making no money, you work a lot of like overnight shifts. So you're starting right around the time everyone's going to the bars and you're asleep before that. So your social life goes completely to hell. So if any of you are just starting in the industry, understand. You're not going to have a whole lot of fun if you really, really want it, just letting you know. And best case scenario, you get to fill in for AJ Hoffman and get ranked as the douchey co-host.
I don't know that you'll finish last.
Oh, I'm going to make sure. I'm going to vote myself bottom for like, I'm going to revote.
No, but Jerome is going to get significant love because people love Jerome. And then, okay, so Tuesday, people don't know Lewis that well. So, I don't know how he'll do.
If you listen to 1560, you might hear him a lot.
Yeah, but nobody listens to 1560. Yeah, so. but you should lock him in.
oh, man.
Then we've got two-thirds of, we got Mike Liebeschock, who people are familiar with.
I think he's on.
I've done a show with Mike. Actually, I did the Blitz with Mike before.
He's going to be on Thursday.
I thought he was Wednesday.
Or Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to double check.
And then Craig Shelton and Jermaine Avery on Thursday. So, that's two-thirds of Hustletown. So that's a pretty interesting collection there. We'll have to see how it goes. I mean, a couple of the guys, I know Lee Bishak will do fine because I've worked with him before. Jerome and I always have fun. And I've never worked with Jermaine, but Craig and I have worked together many times. I've never worked with Lewis, so I'm looking forward to that. So we'll just see how it goes. So you'll make the top five, I think.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, there you go. See? All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Danny filling in for A.J. You know that by now. HD show with Fred Davis and Henry Thomas celebrating their one-year anniversary live at Max Place tonight from 7 to 10 p.m. If you're out and about, that's probably a place to go drink with a lot of people, right? So a friend of mine texted me about that Lola's. It says it's cool because they'll let you smoke weed in the back outside area.
See?
Yeah, I...
You get a lot of good votes for that.
Yeah, although now that you know that, that's not necessarily... There are a couple bars on this list, I'll just confess, that I have probably smoked weed in the bar or out back. So
in the penalty box at Maple Leaf?
No, not a Maple Leaf, but there are places on that list. We'll just leave it at that. 832 says Fred will always be the bigger nerd. Others may be more into Game of Thrones or bigger readers than him, but no one will outclass him when it comes to the Doppler. I am a Doppler nerd. I am a weather nerd. A lot of you guys that listen, that you didn't grow up here, which is cool. But if you grew up here, you probably were a weather nerd because we always had to worry about hurricanes because the media would scare the crap out of us every summer. I saw a thing the other day. It's like, oh, experts expecting an active hurricane season. When was the last time they weren't expecting an active hurricane season?
Right.
When was the last time they could? You know why? Because if they come out and say, oh, it's going to be a weak season, and then you get a nasty storm that then they look like idiots, even if it's only one storm. But every year they predict the same thing. And how often does it happen? Once every 25 years.
Which is exactly the kind of thing somebody would say just before a hurricane wiped us off the face of the earth. You realize?
Oh no!
That.
Hey man, my record on weather is unbelievable. I'm 79-2. 79-2. I'm predicting storms not coming here.
But if you're 79-3,
I missed on Ike. Okay, that one kind of got us. And then I missed one time when we were at the old place where I said it was not going to snow. And Matt Dean and I were doing the show, and I looked outside, and it started snowing.
It was back in 07, right?
I probably right around then, yeah. It had to been.
Well, it snowed two straight years, right? It was like 05 yeah. and then 06.
It was 07. Yeah,
I wasn't okay. I wasn't doing radio in 06, so it had to be 07 or 08, one of those two. But I said, there's no way in hell it's going to snow. I was wrong. So I've been wrong twice, but I've been right 79 times. That's a better record than the hurricane guys, considerably. Not that I should be doing it. Yes, I am a nerd, all right? Thank you for pointing that out.
You know what? I will say this. I'll defend a little bit of my Game of Thrones thing. I do have a Stark clock, if that means anything. A little Stark clock that I can that we have hung up.
A Stark clock?
Yeah, yeah.
Does it count?
The House Stark with the a little emblem there. Yeah.
So
Direwolf.
Okay. Does it only work whenever one of them dies? So, like, it just sort of clicks?
Like the Doomsday clock?
That would be pretty awesome, actually. Yeah. No, unfortunately, no. But
okay,
that's all I've got. After that, I think
that's pretty dorky. That's pretty dorky.
But that's all I've got. Like, yeah, I don't have the full collection of books like you do, Fred. But I'll tell you, I think though, because when we watch them, my aunt will go nuts on Game of Thrones. She'll send my wife and my brother and I text messages, and I once woke up in the morning and we had 23 text messages on just Game of Thrones theory. This is after just one of the episodes, and 21 of them were from her. She was texting the whole group just over and over and over about Game of Thrones theories.
Yeah, Tyler says it snowed in 04 and 08, so...
Yeah, 08 it matters.
So
yeah.
It had to have been 08.
Okay, 08, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Number
but
one.
So, but again, though, if you're 79-3, though, that means this year we have to evacuate.
No. 79-2. I have not made a prediction. I'm just predicting we won't get a hurricane this year. But I need the specific hurricane to come in the Gulf so I can say where it's going to go. That it's not going to come here, that it's going to go this place. So that's when the prediction comes. Number one, Maurice Porter said, literally last year they predicted a down year for hurricanes. I don't remember that, but I'll take your word for it. Sooner or later, I every now and then they do predict a down year. But it's pretty rare. This year it's like, oh, it's going to be another one.
Well, the weather's been so crazy recently.
That's the thing, though. We get all scared of these hurricanes. We need to be worried about Superstorm Spike out here.
Yeah, because Spike has been killing us.
Spike is killing us. They don't want to name storms like this that are just constantly drenching us with rain and causing flood and damage, but I'm going to name him. And we need to be worried about Spike. Because if this thing goes on through Saturday, as flooded as everything already is, that's not going to bode well for any of us.
Oh yeah, it just seems that it's getting worse as the days go by. You expect that little lull, and you get one day, and then boom.
And man, it's funny because whenever these storms start happening and it gets around national news, I start getting texts from people around the country going, "Oh man, are you flooded? Are you safe?" I mean, I tell them the same thing, dude. I'm on the 21st floor. If I flood, we're all Armageddon dead. But the problem is now, it used to be that I had a really big vehicle, so I could pretty much get through anything. Now I get a little bit worried about trying to get home whenever this happens because I can't get through more than a foot of water.
What are you rolling in now?
I got a Camaro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I'm learning, and you've had your experience with this, I'm learning about the in-laws. And one thing that I found out when we were in El Paso is my wife's mother is like the biggest worrier ever. Like she freaks out over like the smallest things. And so she's been blowing up our phones nonstop about, hey, are you guys okay? I'm so worried. And the other day she called us and couldn't get a hold of us. And so she blew up our phones for about 30 straight minutes trying to figure out if we were like dead underwater or something like that. So this whole weather surge, I got over it a long time ago because the calls have continued to pour in.
Yeah, in-laws are interesting creatures. I've always been, well, especially the last two, I've been lucky the last two marriages to get really good in-laws. And my in-laws in Canada are terrific. Plus, they're loaded, so at some point,
that helps.
Yeah, but they're really cool, but they're kind of at that point now where, like, he was a farmer for 40 years, 50 years almost, and so now he's essentially retired. So they don't give a bleep about anything. They got real worried when she went in the hospital, so I talked to them then. But otherwise, they're the most laid back. I don't care what's going on, people you'll ever meet. They just sit by their lake all summer and do, and talk to their friends and do nothing and don't worry about a damn thing. That's the life I want when I'm that old.
That would be nice. The other day, her mother called, like, trying to figure out if we were underwater, and my wife said, no, everything's fine. And she says, don't lie to me. Like, what do you mean, don't lie to us? I'm going to cover up the fact that our house was destroyed and we're underwater? Like, what do you want from me?
What, do you think she lied to her?
Yeah, about, like, being, she's that to that level of worrying where, like, she's convinced that something's wrong all the time.
And so she has issues is what you're saying.
Yeah, so basically, yeah. Mm. So we've been dealing with that. And so I'm learning that about the in-laws now as I have a huge worrier on that side, and my wife knows it, and so she pretty much has to pick up the slack and deal with it. But that's a bit of a thing, and so that's why I really want this weather to go away, because I'm tired of of those phone calls. Although if it stops raining for a while, then and we have a drought, then she's going to wonder if we're drinking enough water, and then the cycle continues.
So if I can just get home tonight, then I don't have to worry about any flooding stuff for a while, because tomorrow we're downtown, and then Monday I'm taking off, and then Tuesday we're doing a show at Revelry on Richmond, so I can just ride my bike over there. So I don't even have to take the car out. So I just need to get through today and not get flooded on the way home. So if the rain gods would just stop right at 7 o'clock, just long enough for me to get downtown, that's all I'm asking. 713 asks, what's your stance on global warming? I don't want to get started on that, guys. Because the truth is, we all know climate change is happening, and it's not going to affect any of us, but it's damn sure going to affect people down the road. And yes, there are things that need to be done about it, but I'm almost to the point where I'm not going to I'm kind of getting to where I just don't care about politics anymore, which is, and that's not even a political thing. That's what makes it worse. That's actual science, and you know, but it's become a political thing.
We turn everything. We turn a lot of stuff that shouldn't be like political into politics, don't we?
But I think this election has officially sucked the life out of any interest I have in trying to fix things.
I'm with you, man. I think I actively lose more and more of my faith in humanity as the days go along, and I realize the best thing to do is to just, because I think largely what happens is your life stays the same regardless of who the president is or isn't, right? And we spend so much time complaining about who it is when it doesn't really impact us all that much relative to our normal lives.
So I kind of feel responsible that I should be involved and that we should do our best to let people know they should be involved. But I'm at the point now where it's like, I can't make any difference. Nothing I do matters. I'm just not going to pay any attention to it because, you know, what can I do? I'm hoping that'll pass, but that's how I feel today.
They call it being a realist.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to be complete old guy cynic. I only want to be partial old guy cynic. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Warehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Danny Mata filling in for AJ. Tyler filling in for John. It's just me. One third of The Blitz today, but you guys are doing okay. Hey, I would say you don't completely suck today.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to know.
You've made you've at least whelmed to the public. How's that?
Yeah, you know, I've never come in and done this show where we've had two thirds of the crew. Like the last time I was in here, John was out too, and I was here with Mike Liebeschak, and it was Mike Carroll was producing it. So I've never come in here and had two thirds of the show and just been the one off wheel.
It's important not to take it personally that you know they're only bringing you in when at least you got one of us this time. Come on,
well, that works.
So. Okay, I have another feel-good story to kind of go along with our gem of the day. And this means it's going to get interrupted by a weather alert again.
Fingers crossed.
Because yeah, I'm trying to do some positive stories here. So check this out. Neighborhood kids with water guns are credited with saving a West Fargo, North Dakota resident from a fire Tuesday. According to a release, firefighters were called to a deck fire at an apartment unit. While en route, units were notified that the occupant of the apartment was on home oxygen and could not leave the apartment or put out the fire. So, old guy, right?
Right.
When firefighters arrived, they found the remains of a planter that had caught fire. The flames had burned onto the deck. The fire was already out, however. It was later determined that five neighborhood kids saw the fire, alerted the occupant, and then they had like these high-powered water guns they were having a water gun fight with.
Mm-hmm.
They used that to put the fire out before the firefighters got there. So, said three of the kids live in the same apartment complex, and the two had joined them for a water fight outside the building. They smelled the smoke and found the fire. They had some super soakers, so they had some pretty good range. They had to refill a couple times, but they pretty much got the fire out. It was just smoldering when we got there. So those are the most badass Super Soaker kids ever.
Yeah, that's well, first of all, the Super Soakers are way better than when I use. I remember you would try to load those thing once, and you put a little pump thing, and that thing would just break off after, you know, you use them for a day, have one fight with your friends, and they would break off. Now kids are putting out fires with them.
Well, there you go.
That's hardcore, man. Angel, those things are a lot stronger.
Angel says you did a very fair to moderate job. Congrats.
Oh.
Well, he's not done yet. He's still got two segments here.
He's already trying to get rid of me. He's already trying to get me
out
of here.
But no, I would say...
Thanks, Angel.
Not underwhelming, not overwhelming, but whelming.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Whelming. Yeah. Okay.
So How's your wife handling the fact that you're talking about her on air? Because I'm guessing she doesn't really know how the show works, where once you walk in here, pretty much everything is fair game.
You know what? You know, the good thing about my wife is my wife has a great sense of humor, and we're very much alike. And so I think she's, she handles it pretty well for the most part. I think it's always a little different when you start talking about like the in-laws or whatnot, and you wonder how that's going to go down and everything like that. But, you know, but the good thing about wife is, though, she's a very good sport. And, you know, one thing I found out when we got together, though, is, because I like to pride myself in having a sarcastic wit, she's a little sharper than I am. I'm not sure how I feel about that. Like I'll be trying to say some stuff, and then she can take me down a couple notches. I don't like that. She's smarter than me. I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Well, could she really be smarter than you if she married you?
Well, okay. There you go. See, that's the kind of stuff she would say right there.
Like, okay, yeah, well, I'm just saying. You got to look at all sides of this. But it's always funny because people get different reactions. I had somebody in here one time to fill in, and of course I was talking about multiple divorces because they happen, right? So, you better not listen to that guy. You better not listen to that guy. That better not happen to us. Yeah, it did 6 months later. So anyway.
So you're like the reverse love doctor sometimes.
No, actually I give terrific advice, because you know how you learn in life? You learn from failure. You don't learn from success. If you're successful at everything, you're not learning a damn thing. You learn from your failures. I've learned a lot when it comes to relationships and marriages and things of that nature, because I failed at them miserably.
You are a veteran of marriage.
Yeah, I admit it. I suck at it, but I'm trying to get better. I'm trying real hard to be the shepherd.
So how many years total have you been married? I mean, obviously not to the same one.
I don't even know. Half my life, at least. One of them lasted 15 years, but the last couple years we didn't really live together, so that didn't count.
At 15 years, how would you, at 15 years, aren't you pretty much, you're there, right? Aren't you in the clear? You would think.
No. Well, that one's a long story. It should have ended after 7, and then there were kids involved and stuff like that. So anyway, and then there was, the first one was only like a year. It wasn't even that. So
you've been married for 23 years, but not to the same
one. Right, right. I kind of feel like I'm still young enough, and I'm getting in better shape, then I might have one more in me. I think maybe 4.5 would be a good number. It's a good round number.
What's the half?
That's a long story that you have to have caught the show the one time I told the story about it.
Yeah, I missed that one.
Yeah.
We're going to tell me that one when the show's over. The half.
No, I don't know you well enough. Sorry. That's a story over beers.
Well, we did have that 10 best bar list come up, so we could always figure out something.
Yeah, but that's to drink alone. So if I go to one of those places on the way home tonight, sorry, you're not invited. Jacob rates you as a George Springer / Brandon Whedon serviceable.
Brandon Whedon?
Hey, Brandon Whedon won a game for him last year.
Yeah, won a game. Wow, man.
Beat the Colts for the first time in Indianapolis.
Look, I'll say this. We're not going to get back into the George Springer thing, but I don't think you compare George Springer as a quality player in his sport and put him on the same level as Brandon Whedon in his sport.
For those of you thinking we hated on George Springer, I will rate George Springer much, much higher than Brandon Whedon.
Yeah, in his respective sport. And the fact that the Colts lost to Brandon Whedon at home just tells you how bad that football team was a year ago.
See, now everybody's asking about the half-life. You had to bring this up. I'm going. I'll tell you what.
You said it. You started this.
No, that's been out there forever. 3.5. One of these days at a road show, that if enough people show up at the road show tomorrow, I will tell it tomorrow. If not, I have a number in my head of people that have to be there, and if they're there, I'll tell the story. The problem is, it's not a sexy story. It sounds funny to say 3.5 when you hear the actual story. You're like, eh. So the only other time I told it was we were in Beaumont, and that was before we were podcasting everything. So it's probably not on the podcast. But we packed the place in Beaumont, so I went ahead and told them. Plus, they were feeding us alcohol, and by then I was drunk enough to do it. But that's my standard. That seems fair.
I mean, is it one of those like uncomfortably awkward stories that you're thinking is going to be funny, and then you go, oh, wow, I feel awkward. This is strange.
It doesn't make you awkward, but you're just kind of like, you hear it and you go, oh, bleep. Yeah, that sucks. And that's it.
Oh.
Somebody gave you a 6.8 out of 10. 832 did.
What's 6.? Why not 6.5 or just 6?
Dude, a 6.8 is better than 6.5.
Where do you get the 0.8 from?
I don't know, but I don't know where you're... You know, it's just like it's like gymnastics.
It's like when someone says, "I'll give you a 6.74." Like, where are you getting the 0.74? What kind of arbitrary number is that?
That's not arbitrary. I'm sure he has a standard. He's like checking things off, and you add it up to a 6.8.
He's got a little like a check sheet here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm sure the
I don't buy that.
I'm sure the Russian judge lowered your score.
I think
that's
just the BS stat.
No, I believe him. I believe him.
He's going to be knocking me down for that comment, but that's fine. I'm just saying. It's a
you're going to be down to a 6.4 before you know it. See, that's the thing. That's why you guys shouldn't start grading him before the end of the show. We still have a segment left.
Oh, exactly.
It'd be real easy for him to bleep this up.
I could potentially have a George Springer-esque second half of the show, right? Like a plummet, which is theoretically possible, right?
Yeah, and the fact that you keep bringing up George Springer, and we said we're not going to talk about it.
Lamont says, I'm Jets Ryan Fitzpatrick serviceable. Okay, but not worth the money he's asking for.
All right, so what you're saying is you can win with Danny, you just don't want to overpay him. I think that's fair. It's probably fair.
What if I told you I was doing the show for free? Then am I underpaid?
No, I think that's about...
That's still about right.
Yeah, I think it seems about fair.
Because relative to the salary cap, you wouldn't want to pay a whole lot for Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is why the Jets still haven't signed him.
Yeah, actually, that whole thing, it's kind of funny because I think that's one of those where both... And Pro Football Talk wrote this, too, that they're both right and they're both wrong, and I kind of agree with them. Jets are underpaying for what's a starting quarterback. Fitzpatrick wants more than what he would be able to get anywhere else. Seems to me they ought to be able to work that out. And
but yeah, I still feel like Ryan Fitzpatrick has all the leverage in that deal, because if you think about it, what are the Jets really holding against you? Oh yeah, we're gonna go throw Geno Smith out there, or Bryce Petty, or God forbid Christian Hackenberg. I mean, if you're Ryan Fitzpatrick, aren't you just sitting there saying, yeah, okay, you do that. You go into a season with Geno Smith and Bryce Petty, see how that works out for you. That's why they brought him in the first place.
Now you get a 5.7 for complaining. I told you that was going to happen.
I'm going to get down to a 3 before the end of the show.
Another 3.32. On a scale from 3 to 26.4, you're rated at a solid 18.222 repeating. I love the Blitzers. All right, quick break. You know what? You know what I have done? We can't do Hoffman on Hollywood because AJ's not here, but you know what I did? I have a Falcon on Hollywood.
It doesn't have the ring to it.
It doesn't have the same ring, no, but I hope the stories are worthwhile. We shall see. I got some good stuff. Megan Fox, Amber Heard, Taylor Swift. Does that do anything for you?
Megan Fox always does something for me.
Right? And a Game of Thrones myth.
Oh. Okay.
So, if we get to all those.
I'm intrigued.
Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, got to tell you about my good friends at Houston Can Academies, and it's a terrific school that gives at-risk kids a second chance. Kids who've dropped out of other schools for whatever reason. Some of them had to get jobs. Some of them might have gotten pregnant. Well, a lot of those kids would have never amounted to anything. Who knows what would have happened to them without Houston Can Academies. They get that second chance, and Houston Can Academies gives them what they need to succeed. If they need to work around their schedule, they do that. If a student needs glasses, they get them that. If they're hungry, they even provide a warm meal for them. They do what they can to help these kids get that second chance, and so many of them go on to do great things, and that just makes us a better society, and you can help. With your donation, you can help Houston Can Academies and help these kids and help make a difference in their lives and in a lot of lives. Change one life, you're going to change hundreds, and you can do that just by donating a vehicle you're not using anymore. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. Maybe it's something that's gotten messed up in these floods and you don't know what to do with it. Well, donate it to Houston Can Academy. If you donate today, you're going to get free Astros tickets. So you get to go check out the Astros. Tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. They're going to give you Astros tickets. They're going to come tow your vehicle free of charge. And your donation is tax deductible. Plus, they take care of all the paperwork. A lot of Blitzers have done this, man, and it's been really, really easy. They've all said the same thing. It's quick, it's easy, and you'll get those Astros tickets. Give them a call. Here's the number, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Just want to remind you that the HD show with Fred Davis and Henry Thomas celebrating their one-year anniversary is live at Max Place from 7 to 10 tonight. Rico says I should call it Falcon on Famous People. I like that. Double Down says on the Stark scale, he's better than Rickon, but somewhere between current Sansa and Arya with the Hound. Okay, that seems fair. All right, so let's do Falcon on Famous People. Well, as you may know, Megan Fox is pregnant. I don't know.
I did know that.
You did know that, right?
Yes.
And basically, she thinks she has a super genius baby. She told Jimmy Kimmel that she communicates with her child, which isn't born yet. So you don't hear an audible voice, but I feel like you receive messages from the child if you're open to it. For instance, this baby wanted me to live somewhere else. So we're moving to a whole different place in Los Angeles because I feel like that's where this baby wants to be raised. Okay, I know attractive women are always going to be a little bit crazy, but and you always have to balance the crazy scale versus the hotness scale. Yeah, Megan, if you think your baby's talking to you and you're moving because of it, you're too crazy for me. Sorry.
Well, you know, when it comes to real hot girls, I guess there's always a give and a take in there.
Well,
she's not too bright.
When it comes to anybody, there's a give and take. But meanwhile, speaking of hot, Johnny Depp, not Amber Heard. But apparently, Johnny Depp repeatedly attacked her as far back as 2014. And his assistant begged Amber to forgive him, according to text messages sent between them and posted by ET. Depp's assistant texted Amber in 2014 to say he was appalled. When I told him he kicked you, he cried. It was disgusting and he knows it. Amber responded, he's done this many times before and I always stay. I started dating in 2012 and basically it kind of sounds like Johnny was messed up. But Depp's report, representatives have now responded to the report. Meanwhile, those of you who are interested in Taylor Swift, guess what? She's a free agent again. Tyler, she your kind of girl, Taylor Swift?
I like Taylor Swift.
Hey, she's rich, man. That's all that matters, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Apparently, she and Calvin Harris have pulled the plug on their relationship. TMZ has confirmed. 15 months they went out. So,
wow.
That was good for her record career. She's going to put out a new CD.
Yeah.
Based on this relationship, I'm sure.
And finally, we were talking about this earlier when we had the Game of Thrones odds, but the actor who plays Sir Jorah, Ian Glenn, shot down the Game of Thrones myth about his character death because he has grayscale, of course, but he's also playing a media mogul on a new show called Clever Man. And so, of course, that has led everyone to speculate that he is going to die, but he explains that, says, I don't think you can draw that conclusion. So they've always been amenable to actors doing other work around it. Your guess is as good as mine as to whether Sir Jorah survives into the future. They keep us painfully in the dark, so we'll have to see. That almost tells me he's dead. So, anyway.
I don't know, man. I don't think that Jorah's dead quite yet, and I don't think the Hound is dead either, since we're talking about the Hound.
Everybody's been talking about the Hound being alive.
And the Hound is coming back, man.
Everybody dies. All right. That's Falcon on Famous People. Let's squeeze in a quick call here before we break it up. Lamont, what's up?
Hey, Fred, man. I had a quick question for you, man. I've been wanting to ask you this question for almost 3 or 4 years. Are you a Martin Scorsese guy?
I am 90% of the time, yes.
Okay. And I mean, you probably reel it off of me. But name me 3 movies that Martin Scorsese featured Rolling Stones, Give Me Shelter.
God, yeah.
The Departed.
Yeah, yes, definitely in that one. You know what, though? I can't remember all of them, but The Departed I know was one of them. I have to admit, I was really disappointed in Vinyl.
I never saw it. Yeah, the one I was disappointed in was Shutter Island. I thought that was
terrible. That wasn't. But yeah, that's the thing. He hasn't done many things that aren't very good. I wasn't a big fan of Cape Fear, the remake. But yeah, The Departed I loved. But he did that Vinyl on HBO, and I just found it very disappointing. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Want to thank Tyler for taking care of us in there. Good job. I'm going to give you a solid B today. Danny Mata, great job filling in. Going to give you a solid A minus today.
Really?
Yeah.
That's generous.
I only partially suck, so I get a D plus today. We'll be at Live Sports Bar tomorrow with Jerome Solomon filling in downtown. Please come and check it out. Thanks, everybody, for participating today. Till tomorrow, stay sports, you bitches.
Blitz on ESPN 97.5.